to trust in you, that's where the business comes in so much easier than when they don't trust you. They'll trust you more than their lender. For some reason, they went with their lender, but that trust isn't there still because the person knows this person is making a commission from me. That's why they're answering my call. Min's answering my messages and he's not getting paid from me. Okay, I want Min to make commission then.
Hey, podcast crew. This is Chris and this is the Chris Medellin Show.
My man, Min Nguyen. Min, thank you so much for being on the show today.
Thank you for having me.
Well, dude, I got to tell you, so why I asked you to be on the show today is because you and I, there was a point in time where we worked at the same company, and we never really connected when you worked here, and I didn't really understand the magnitude of what you were doing for our industry. So you have launched these channels on Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube all around, and the channel is called What's a Mortgage. You have simplified the mortgage process and understanding what mortgage is to the general public and the communities that we're serving. And so I have started this podcast around diversity, and it's a breakthrough series that I'm really proud of because it gives me an opportunity to talk to people like you who are doing something for the community that really makes sense and really helps. So you were an originator. You've been in mortgage since 2003. You've been through cycles, obviously, if you've been in the mortgage industry that long. We're just entering another cycle. And you're out there in a community helping people, building a marketing engine to help other originators grow their business. And so if anybody who is in lending wants to learn what it's like to build and be an influencer in the mortgage space, Min is the guy to talk to. So Min, thank you so much for being here today. I'm really excited, man, because this is like, for those of you that don't know, Min and I don't know each other that well. So as we go through this process, this is going to give us a really good opportunity to meet each other. So Min, thank you so much for being here, man.
Of course. Thank you for having me. Like I said, you have this amazing energy about you. I know we worked at the same company, but I think I really got to enjoy you as a person when we were out in Las Vegas for the Ford conference. And there was something about you, like, man, this guy is like, he's driven, but he has this magnetism about him. Like, oh, I want to be around this guy. I become better just being around him.
Oh, dude, that's exactly, it's so funny, but that's exactly how I feel about you, man. I watch what you're doing on TikTok. You do these things with your wife, and I see the energy between you two, and it's so fun to watch. I mean, you're putting out, actually, like, for being an educator in the mortgage space, you're putting out such entertaining content that I actually really enjoy watching it. Like, and you know, you and I are in the industry, so it's not really fun to watch industry content, but to see what you're doing, I'm interested in it. And here's the funny thing. So the next day after we hung out at the Ford event that night, I don't know who it was, but somebody texted me a picture. It was like a random picture that they sent of you and I dancing. It was like a video. Did you get that same one?
No, I didn't get that one, but I remember we were dancing. Yeah.
I don't really remember that all that well that you and I were out there dancing. So what a fun time, dude. So Min, tell me a little bit about what you're doing in the space and, you know, how you got started. And really, I want to go back to the inception of this idea of I'm going to start a channel. I'm going to help educate the community on what it is to get a mortgage and how that took off. I'd love to hear your journey there. And honestly, I really appreciate you doing this for us.
Of course. Of course. Anything you need, I'm here for you. So it all started, I remember, it's like telling a story. It all started back in 2017 when I was a wee pup. No, I'm kidding. It started in 2017. Yep. And in 2017, I had my own mortgage company. I mean, I went out, I left a company and I started my own company and I became a direct lender. I had a couple teams that were doing 10 million, like a small direct lender, and they all decided to leave one by one. They all decided to leave because they found a better deal. You know, these guys were with me for a couple years. And when you are a leader, you never think that someone would leave you, even if you gave birth to them into the mortgage industry, or you took them from selling shoes, selling satellite dishes, selling precious metals, whatever industry you yanked them out of, and you turned them into successful loan officers, they would leave you. But they all do eventually. And I don't think they left because of any ill intentions. They left because they were doing what's best for them and their family. So when they all started leaving, I hired account execs to go out and meet with realtors for me and set appointments for me. But, you know, back then I was making good money. So let me hire these account execs. And of course, when they're out there in the field, they were getting sniped by other lenders. Come work for me. Come work, or send me the deal instead. And I'll give you money. And through that, I was like, no, enough is enough. I bought enough realtors lunches. I'm not getting the business that I needed to get. And then I was watching Tai Lopez, mm-hmm. you know, that my Ferrari.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, hey, as he's educating people, why can't I get to the consumer before realtors and other lenders through social media? So on June 5th, 2017, when my loan officers were leaving me, I decided to start What's a Mortgage. So we started making video after video, and it started from there back in 2017. My big break was in 2018, probably. So it was, we started June, May 2018 is when it broke out, like on Facebook. Something happened and all of a sudden, boom, deals started rolling in. And I was doing that from 2018 up until February or March. And that's when I left for US Bank. And I went from US Bank, then to Loan Depot, and then I went independent after that.
Well, this is okay. So I got to unpack. There's three segments that I want to unpack here. The first one is you come into the industry, you become a leader, you start to train and educate these entry-level individuals that are coming into the mortgage space and teaching them how to become successful. You're changing lives by bringing people into the industry, and then they get poached or they leave you. And that's one of the hardest things that I still don't get over it that easily. Like when somebody leaves me, it's like a breakup every single time. It's like an emotional breakup that it takes me time to understand it and understand the relationship. And you start picking out every conversation you had and where did I go wrong? And you know what? And at the end of the day, it's never really you. It's that point in their life that they'd, like you said, they didn't do it from a personal perspective. They believe that was the right thing to do for them and their family. But this is a cutthroat industry when you think about it. Like you said, then you go on to get these account executives, right? Business development people who are out there setting up appointments. And then they get poached. And so then this is not something that is, you know, there's not a mortgage person that's listening to this that's asking themselves, you know, has this not happened to me or will this happen to me? It's going to happen. The moment you build a team, somebody is going to call them and try to poach them. And so as leaders, we have to always figure out who we're working with and figure out how to add massive value to them. But one of the things that you did is you built a brand out of the thought process of, I'm tired of the lunches, I'm tired of chasing, I got to figure out a way to attract people to me. So here's my question. What came first? Was it the applications or the viewership of what you were doing? Like, you know, because you said it happened out of the blue, and was it just one day you went viral with viewership, or did the viewership always stay the same except the applications just followed thereafter? Tell me about that process and what it was like.
So it started with just making videos first and no one watching. I remember going live and it was my mom, my dad, my brother, my buddy's parents that were watching. So okay. Then they start sharing the information.
Okay.
But back then, of course, Facebook was still new. I did video after video. A lot of them weren't hitting. We did a video called our VOE video where I did this VOE dance, like, give me a V, V, I got your V, I got your V, give me an O, O. So I did this dance and it started picking up momentum. So back in 2018, I lost pretty much almost everything. I sold my house.
In 2018?
In 2018, correct. So I sold my house. Okay. My wife took half the equity. She moved on. She's like, hey, Min, whatever you need to figure out, I think it's time that we just split for a second. I was, yeah, this one, like, you know, she didn't leave me, but she's like, hey, maybe some things you need to figure out right now. Don't have the stress about being a father and a husband. I moved back to my parents' house. And in 2017, I was making, think about this, 0.75 points, and I was funding $65 million. And 2018, moving back home, how humbling is that? I took the half of the equity. I took some money. And because of that video that did decently well during that time on Facebook, I ran an ad on it. I went from spending no money, and I spent, let's say, $50 a day and $100 a day. And that's all I needed, $100 a day. I would think $100 a day from March 2018 when I sold my house up until May, and it bursted through, and applications started coming. There were some applications coming in, but in May, it just something happened where the video all of a sudden, even though I was doing paid advertising, I wasn't getting that much view because I wasn't spending so much money, but all of a sudden, I see a million views. If you spend money on paid advertising, but if your content's not good, it's not going to produce well. I know guys who are spending way more than I did back then, and they couldn't get their content to go viral or for people to follow them because they spent so much money on content. And all of a sudden, application after application, and I went from doing nothing to May. I did like 3 loans. By November, I was doing 18 units a month as a loan officer.
Wow. I mean, wow. There's something, yeah. There's so much there. Dude, you drop bombs, bro. Like, I'm trying to decide which direction to go, but like, okay, let me take it back a little bit, and we're going to take this in steps. Talk to me about the moment when, you know, because we went through a cycle in 2008, and that cycle, would you consider that a worse cycle than the 2018 kind of mortgage, you know, the compression that went through, that we probably felt as a cycle more so than the industry or the communities did, or was 2008 worse for you? Which one was worse?
2007, 2008 was the worst.
Okay.
I feel like 2007, 2008, lenders were shutting down business. Right now, businesses or mortgage companies are consolidating. Mm-hmm. 07, 08, they were shutting down. Guidelines would change while you're in escrow. I remember if someone's doing a loan and it's in a declining market, the lender might ask for a bigger down payment. So you went from 3% down, all of a sudden 10% down, and you're in escrow. And the buyer doesn't have the money. PMI companies, hey, the rate changed to PMI because why would I insure a property if it's upside down? So they would increase it, or they would want a bigger down payment as well, or they would just go out of business. So now business is constricting, but mortgage industry is still in business. Mortgage industry was not in business. There was 1 week in 2007, and that's why I say 2007, not 2008. There was 1 week. In October 2007, there was no mortgages sold on Wall Street. None. A whole week. That is how bad it was in 07.
Wow. I didn't even know that statistic, but that is madness, right? And so being in the industry, you know, there's a lot of trust amongst people like you who have been in the industry, who know what the cycles are, and we've hit several throughout our history, but one hit you. You know, when you go back to 2018, what was it about that year that impacted you to the point that you went from, you know, having one of your best years, $65 million, to moving into your parents' house? How did that impact you personally, and how did you dig yourself out of that?
I was in a depression. I'm telling you right now, I was in a depression. I had the world at my fingertips. I was funding $65 million. I did it 2015, mm-hmm. like 15, 16, and 17. So I had 3 amazing years. I became my own lender. And of course, some bad things happened, taxes, bad, you know, just, it just dwindled away. Whatever I had left, I gave it to my wife. I'm like, take it. You have our son. You know, I just need a little bit to get by, and I'll find a way to crawl out of this. So I'm back home, and I'm just in this misery at my parents' house in March 2018 when the house is sold, and I'm still making content. And, you know, I was, whatever money I had left, I was paying 2 people. I was paying one person to do all my graphics when graphics were bigger back then than they are now, one person to video edit and run my ads. So every month I was forking out $6,000 a month that I didn't have, living at my parents' house. I ate whatever my mom cooked so I don't have to spend money, and I ran $3,000 a month in ads. So I spent $9,000 a month when I had nothing.
Well, that's what people don't understand.
Soft stories, I don't even want to hear it. Because whatever money I made, if I made $9,000, I spent $9,000. You know, I used some of my savings. I held on to as much as possible, but I only used the money. I lived at my parents' house. I had to park in a parking structure. I remember I was lending at my buddy's company. I would park far away in a parking structure so I wouldn't have to pay $20 for parking or pay $100 a month for a parking pass so I could spend money running on ads.
This is interesting because right now we have entered a cycle and there is a large amount of loan officers in the industry today that have never been through a cycle. The last 10 years, they've been winning, right? Yeah. Or they've been in a winning, you felt it so hard that, but even no matter you lost your family, you know, you lost your house, you moved into your parents' house. And I'm pretty sure with all that, and you said it yourself, there was a depression, and we're going to talk about that in a second. But no matter what, you were smart enough to say, I'm not cutting my marketing budget. In fact, I'm doubling down on it. right now people are looking at their budgets and they're cutting out marketing. What do you say to that LO today that is looking at their expenses, they're having a rough few months because the market shifted on them and they're cutting their marketing budget? What are your thoughts on that?
On the inside, I feel real happy because right now, as our ads are running, I'm the only one on the internet right now. I am dominating the internet. My viewership is skyrocketing. Rocket, Loan Depot, guaranteed no one's spending money on mortgage marketing on Instagram and TikTok. Because I check their ad set. I'm the only one spending money. So I am spending more than those three major companies on the internet running ads right now. So as everyone's pulling back, I'm spending more. As everyone's spending money to go to Tom Ferry, Mike Ferry, going to all these conventions, spending their thousands of dollars, I'm like, keep going to all those things. Burn through your money. I'm going to put ads out. I'm going to let my face be all over the internet. Let's cut back on some costs, cut back on some comp. Let me go ahead and dial back, but keep the ad money going because my face is everywhere. And it's intentional marketing. It's not just organic marketing, because organic, you might get a lead from another state it might be a $30,000 mobile home. Mm-hmm. I spend my money in all of California. So from Northern California down to San Diego, it's this. That's why when you go to conferences, people rave about me because they've seen my face, because it's just this. No one else is competing against this right now.
Bro, I hung out with you in Vegas and people know you. I mean, you're the dude that people know because you have put it out there and you're educating. And that's the thing that people don't get, that when you figured this out, it was all about, you can't do what you did today because everybody tried to copy it already, right? But you have the momentum around it. So tell me why you leaned in to the basics. Like you leaned into, like, how do I teach people how to make this so simple? How did that originate in your mind?
So what I did was I reached out to past clients and I asked them, what was the hardest part about getting a mortgage? The uncertainty. Mm-hmm. Uncertainty. It's like you get a pre-approval letter. It means nothing. Anyone could just go on Microsoft Word and type a pre-approval letter. Yes. So what was the biggest pain about getting a mortgage? Clearing income. Assets, they'll figure out credit. It is what it is. But that VOE, until everything's automated now, was the maker or breaker. And so I did the VOE video and that squashed all the problems.
Yes.
And literally how to get a VOE filled out correctly by your employer. What information do they need? Especially if you're using overtime or bonus. And that video pretty much took off. Of course, VOE is, everything's automated now. Now there's other problems, other challenges. But back then it was the VOE. So you just have to talk to your people, your clients, if you don't have clients, your family member or friends, or we walked out on the streets and we asked people, hey, do you have a mortgage? Do you have a mortgage? What was the hardest part about getting a mortgage? And they would tell us and we would write it down, you know?
Dude, one of the things that I love about doing these conversations is because what you do, what your story is about to resonate with somebody out there that might be feeling the same pain that you felt and how you dug yourself out of it. I try to build this content that will get created from this podcast, and this podcast itself is done because I really want to inspire, even if it's just one person, to figure out through you or through something that happened to you how to dig themselves out of a hole that they may be in. And so if you don't mind, I want to take you back to the time when you're living at your parents' house, you're dropping $9,000, you don't have your family the way that you probably envisioned, and you're waking up in the morning. And there's got to be times when you're waking up in the morning, you just don't want to get out of bed. This is not the life that you thought you were going to lead. How did you get yourself out of that? What was, do you remember, if you can go back to that moment, and what were the things that you would say to yourself, or who were the people that were around you that helped you through that?
So when it happened, it was hard to roll out of bed. I saw my kid once a month from 2018 in March up until November, once a month. I was too ashamed. And when I saw him, I was so stressed out about money that I didn't enjoy hanging out with him. And that caused more issues with my wife and I. When you're here, at least be here mentally for him. But as a provider, you're like all over the place. You're not focused, even when you have your kid, because you're like, how do I get back on my feet? So dealing with all that, I had the people around you. You know, you start your list of people around you diminishes when you have, when money's not there, you know, and they're making money. When they, all these guys left me, they left me with some bad loans too. That's why I lost so much money, because I owed $1.7 million as well. And I had to claw out that debt while I was building. So I had a friend, his name is Carlos Velasquez. He's like my best friend, but he believed in me. He was there for me and he encouraged me in those dark times. And even my wife was there to encourage me, even though we didn't live together. She knew, like, you're going to bounce back, man. You have it in you. I've never, like, there's no way you're not going to bounce back. So these two people believed in me when I didn't believe in myself. And honestly, I'm a man of faith, but not a crazy man of faith. I remember I went to church. And of course, when you lose it all, God becomes the first thing in your life. And literally the hand of God came down and he got me. I was able to reverse a lot of that loan, the $1.7 million. That was my first priority. How do I reverse $1.7 million? I took some L's and I reversed $1.1 million. So I got about $600,000-$700,000 left and I slowly chipped away at it as I was funding loans too. But yeah, it was the two people and literally having faith and not giving up because they believed in me when I didn't believe in myself anymore. And that is the hardest thing to find. Like when my parents were like, see, you should have finished college. You know, so it wasn't my parents. It was, you know, my best friend who I wasn't friends with him back then. I, for some reason, they, like, God sent him to encourage me and my wife. These two people, you know, believed and pushed through with me.
Dude.
And of course, I had the guy I paid for. He ended up, you know, he ended up being one of my business partners later on. He passed away. His name is Andrew Encinas. I wanted to give up. And you know what? Let me give up. File BK. Just walk away. He's like, no, man, just hold on. It's going to happen. We got to believe. And, you know, the voice in my, these voices in my ear literally pushed me through.
Oh my gosh, dude. I mean, this is like, this is to me is what people need to hear. Right. And you came out the other side with your family. You know, you had told me the story and I was like, but wait, I see you doing all this content with your wife. And I can't even imagine the happiness that you guys have in your face is when you're doing the content. It's such a dynamic that it looks to me like that can't be fake. There's such a strong bond with you two. And to see where you've been, to know where you've been to get to this is the icing on the cake. Let me ask you a question. Do you think, are you fearful of the loss again? In other words, if the industry were to be impacted today, do you have the same fears that you had back then, or do you think bring it on because you've been through it and you can get out? Do you feel like you have that playbook now?
Yes, I have that playbook. I think other people know the playbook. They just don't want to accept or embrace the playbook. Mm-hmm. You know what I noticed about every loan officer during this time? No one's taking a pay cut. If instead of making 100 bips, why don't you make 50 bips? Use the 100 bips or use the other 50 bips, put money into ads. Pull down back on rate. Everyone still wants to make their 150, 100 bips. No one's backing off on comp. You got fat for the last 2 years. Pull back on comp. Maximize that money. You guys are with a great company. I have nothing negative to say about loanDepot. Mm-hmm. The funds are there, and they're going to help you, but they can't help you if you don't help yourself by backing the F off on your comp. But everyone wants to make their 150 bips. And that's why everyone's losing. You know, I'm taking less right now so I can spend more money on ads.
Yeah, you got to. You have to figure out. I mean, you know, everything, you know, there is a budget that I have. And I've increased the budget on marketing and, you know, trying to figure out how do you cross over into, you know, into being a household name is figuring it out. And you figured this out, dude. I mean, let's talk about the numbers real quick, because I don't think people understand the scale. There's somebody listening right now that's like, never heard of What's a Mortgage. I'd never seen this dude. Let's talk about the impacts that you've made in your life. Can you walk me through, like, how many millions of people have seen your content? Do you know?
I don't know the details, the details, but I know our record breaking video, which was our VOE video, hit about 2.5 million views between 2017 up until 2019 when we retired the video.
You retired it? How was that decision?
When Andrew passed away in 2019, he put the video together, so we retired the video after that. It hit like 2.5 million views, and that was done. Now our average is, we average about a couple hundred thousand views a month on our Instagram page. So that's like our bread and butter. Even though we started on Facebook, you know, most of our ads are on Facebook, but now it looks like TikTok has kind of taken over.
Yep.
And organically with the blend of running ads, it's pretty much our main bread and butter right now. The viewers that come through TikTok, come through Instagram, that buy organically happen like this. So, you know, it's been amazing. But through all this, I remember at our peak in 2021, when we left loanDepot, we were funding about, the branch was doing about 70 million. We were about 35 million of that 70 million.
All from your ad spend. And I mean, correct, not even ad spend, but ad creation and to capture people. So when you were doing your lives, you would go on and just answer questions that people would have about their mortgages. Am I right?
No, I had an agenda. So when I went on, when I went live, my goal was to go live so people would download my ultimate mortgage guide. When they download my guide, I started my email list.
Gotcha.
And I got their phone number. So I started texting and emailing them. The goal is to use the platform to pull everybody off of it so you can engage them as a community.
Yep. So let's talk about that, because when you're building content and you're building an audience and you know that you can attract people to you, then what you're trying to do is figure out a way, a creative way to capture them. And a lot of people use a free guide, like you said, or, you know, a training class, or they do something to capture something free to capture an email and a phone number. And then if you can capture an email and a phone number, now you have a tribe of people that are following you, that trust you. And now it's a matter of conversion. Where do you take that group of people to the next phase of the relationship, but you're truly helping them? And when you create meaningful education content, then you've built trust. And I remember hearing about this back when you were at loanDepot. I remember, you know, I think it was Alec that had interviewed you guys, and I'd watched it, and you guys were talking about the fact that you would have people come to you that were in process with someone else to ask you guys questions about their deal, and then you would end up doing the deal because they were almost, it wasn't that their loan officer on the other end wasn't available. It was that you created a platform to make it easy to deal with you and talk to you, and you were accessible and fun. And it's like, well, by the way, why don't you just do my deal then? Because now, you know, because you become a little bit of this celebrity, if you will, when they can watch you on a TV type of platform, and now they have access to answer, you know, do a Q&A with you. Is that how a lot of your business came to fruition?
Yeah, a lot of our business came through by we didn't chase the business. We just gave out information. And it comes to a point where a person, if they're desperate enough for an answer, they're going to reach out. That means they've taken their guard down. Mm-hmm. You know how easy it is for someone to use your service when their guard is down? So it comes to a breaking point when there's a trust. For some reason, they just don't trust their lender, their realtor, because they've seen you on the internet for so long and you haven't asked them for anything except for send me a question you want an answer to. And that broke that barrier, and that's how business comes in. When that barrier of trust is broken, not trust, I mean, to trust in you, that's where the business comes in so much easier than when they don't trust you. They'll trust you more than their lender. For some reason, they went with their lender, but that trust isn't there still, because the person knows this person is making a commission from me. That's why they're answering my call. Min's answering my messages and he's not getting paid from me. Okay, I want Min to make commission then.
Yes, and people understand that. People respect that hustle. People want you to benefit versus somebody else if you're making yourself available and you've helped me, you know. So I think that's where it all lies. So now if we go into you were a mortgage originator and you started to just create content. And here's the interesting thing about building content and being in a creative mindset is when you're in mortgage, you're doing one of two things. You're using two pieces of your brain. You're using the analytical side because you got to work the numbers and make sure that, you know, the name you're putting on that application and that prequal is worth something, and hopefully, you know, you did a good job with that. And then the second thing is you have to sell. You have to go out and create relationships in order for, so you're doing lunches with realtors and you're buying leads for realtors. You're doing whatever it is that you do to create it. But then there's this third piece that you figured out that you can market. And if you can market people, there's a quote out there that said something along the lines of, if you can market the right way, then you'll never have to sell a day in your life, right? Because now you're attracting people to you, and that's the ultimate goal of marketing. So when I look at what you did is now you have gone from being an originator into a full-on marketing creator. And I think that's the dream of so many people, is to be able to create an attraction to the customer and bypass the realtor. And now you take those and you sell those to big banks and relationships, with lenders. How did that come about for you? Like, when did you decide, okay, I'm going to go this route with my career?
I think as a creator, eventually you started become more creative. Of course, these bigger companies, there's more red tape because they have to protect themselves. I've not, like I said, nothing negative to say, because they have so much red tape and we were picking up so much momentum, it was easier just to sell them the audience than to be under their umbrella because of the red tape that we dealt with.
Yeah, like I think you were telling me, like, loanDepot had a problem with you at one point doing TikToks, right? I mean, like,
correct.
It's crazy because I don't think that they care today, but back then, you know, TikTok was so new. And it was like, what is this? And what are these guys doing? Like, you guys are so ahead of your time, bro. It's crazy. Yeah. But you were having to deal with all the red tape. So then what happened?
So that's, at that point, there was a couple loan officers who did leave. The team I was on left their team. They were over at Movement, another one of your branches in loanDepot down in San Diego. They're like, hey, can we get some leads too? So we thought it was a better idea just to get them the leads and then, cross country. So there, a lot of companies were reaching out, or they left the main branch like, hey, we want what's a mortgage buyers and, clients, but we're not at loanDepot. Can we still do that? Okay, this was the perfect time to do it.
So
once I had enough clientele, I left.
You made the pivot and you became, a lead aggregator, if you will, right?
Correct.
And so from that perspective, how do you control, what does that feel like for the customer? So somebody, does that impact your brand if the deal goes sideways or you sell that deal to somebody that didn't take care of it? Has that ever impacted your business?
Definitely. And of course, when it happens, I have to show face. I call them up. I've refunded some appraisals.
Wow. Okay.
I've paid for some per diems. So I show face, and of course I have a talk with the lender and I'm like, hey, if this happens again, you either have to reimburse me or we're pulling away because this can't keep happening. When that lender hires a new loan officer, we send someone to train them on how to understand our clients and what they're looking for. When we talk to the clients, we let them know, hey, I'm by looking at your situation, this is the perfect lender for you. But of course, a lot of times they know that I don't work for that lender. They'll look up my license. And when they look it up, okay, cool. Like, do you work for them? They're one of my partners. Mm-hmm. If there's a challenge, if you don't want to work with them, I completely understand. Always let me know if there's an issue. And, we have that relationship in the beginning. They know who my referral partners are. And they know, where I stand. And, we respect each other. And because of that, I think a lot of even the ones that don't end up using us, or they go with another company or they're not happy, they still watch What's a Mortgage, because I still provide the education that if they went with another lender, they knew what was going on the whole time. They knew what time it was.
Absolutely. So I would imagine that this is nothing that you kind of imagined you'd ever have to deal with when you made the pivot. Like, you had to continue to say, okay, I didn't think that was going to happen. Like, you think you're going to give a lead away and they're going to take good care of it. And you realize, okay, now I'm sure you have a contract now that has like a code in there of some sort that people have to sign. Cool. When they're going to accept your leads, on how they're going to perform against those leads,
Correct. We have a contract. Like, if they don't reply by a certain period of time, if after X amount of years, if they don't close a lead, or if they the buyer or the lead wants to go with a different lender, we let them know why the reason may be, and then we move on from that.
I love that, man. I think that's like, when you have to start thinking about those types of things, that means you've done something really well. Because now you have this subgroup that you got to protect your brand. And the fact that you built the brand to be able to have the protection around it, it's amazing to me. So I want to go back to, because as we've gone through this segment, there's this thing that looms in the background, and it's like, how did you end up getting everything back and finding the success again. So, you know, you went through the success, then you went through I would say like your rock bottom, and then you're now, you know, when did you turn the corner that you got your family back and, you know, you're able to spend time with your son, you know, from the perspective of you're really, you know, intentional now and you're engaged. How did you turn the corner with that?
I think it was November 2018. So March, we sold our house. I reversed about $1.7 million back down to like $600,000-$700,000. And from March moving forward, I was funding my own deals here and there. Mm-hmm. And in May, when I started hitting 18 units, I used every dollar I had to reverse all that money. You know, I had a couple really big months and I reversed it all. In November, I didn't know anything else. I put away a little bit of money. And we were just funding loans from November 2018 up until February, March 2019. I killed it, you know, and then that time things were still booming, but I was burnt out. So when I was burnt out, Andrew, the young man who passed away, his brother stepped in and offered, hey, you gave me all these deals at US Bank because we didn't do jumbo back then. And of course, US Bank did jumbo, and I was handing out jumbos, you know, hand over fist, like, why don't we take over everything for you and we give you a signing bonus and you get X amount, and boom, it took off. And of course, jumbo was great, but majority of our buyers were FHA conventional VA, and that's when we went through Loan Depot. But went through Loan Depot, here's where I put my money where my mouth is. I made sure my whole team got paid and I didn't get a check until revenue started turning.
Boom.
So in August 2018 up until March 2019, I didn't make a single dollar. I'm a little nervous. My wife thought I was crazy, but then it boomed after that.
I'm hearing you right, Loan Depot brought your family back together again.
Yeah, pretty much.
Ladies and gentlemen, that is what it's all about. And we are bringing families back home. Home is everything. I'm kidding. This is not a commercial for Loan Depot. I just was curious. I was like, okay, well, I can spin this. But no, dude, I love this. I mean, because I think that you've always, as I'm listening to your stories, you've always had integrity in how you approach the business and everything that you've done with the business. And I think one of the things that's super important, you know, for people to understand is that there's a sacrifice that has to happen. And, you know, hindsight is always 20/20, but there's many people right now that are in the thick of it. And, you know, cutting off your marketing budget, you know, increasing your pay when you should be doing the opposite is probably, you know, two of the main important things that I'm listening to with men is like, you have to be creating content. You have to be creating your brand. And figure out ways that you can live as frugal as possible, but never turn off the marketing engine. Am I hearing all that right, man? I mean, is that how you would say it?
100%. Like, if I had to do it right now during this industry, this market, I would know exactly what to do already. I would, you know, my wife and I would either rent a small place or rent out our house right now. Go. If times are tough right now, we would rent out our house, move to my parents' house or her parents' house, whatever money we'd have, put into marketing. And as soon as the feds pull back on rates, we would make our money and then we would move back into our house.
And you're willing to do that today. Like you're just like, let's go.
Yeah. If it came down to that, that's what we would do right now. I would not back off on marketing because right now no one else is spending money. So when everyone else is not spending money or whatever money they're spending it on courses or on conferences, I'm putting into ads. Yes. When I hear about these memberships for 10 grand, I'm like, there's 3 months worth of ads right there. You just blew your money on.
Yes.
You know, ads is everything. And these days, the cool thing is social media is all about a natural look. So some of our ads, I film it from my phone and we turn it into ads.
On purpose. Yes. We do correct. The same thing. Yeah.
So of course you can't do everything that way, but it's a blend. So don't think that you need some $5,000 camera, some, you know, crazy lens, you know, simple editing through CapCut. If you really want to make it happen, you would make it happen.
So amazing. So when you go into when you're looking at content today, if you don't mind me asking you, who do you think is really making a difference in the lending space with regard to content? Like, who should people be watching?
if it was me, I would probably be watching The Mortgage Kitchen.
Okay.
He does a strategy called number disproportion.
Okay.
And this guy, I met with him, a bright man. He was a model before that. He has a British accent. He's been doing mortgages for 2 years. He has over 150,000 followers organically. You know, he just needs some paid advertising, some business savvy behind him. He would own mortgages. He's from the UK. He doesn't know how to talk to realtors to kind of, you know, get more business, extract from them. He didn't work out a great deal with his prior company. He has a better deal now with his other company. But even like if he would have just fixed that, changed some of that, he'd kill it. And right selling right now, the way he delivers content, you know, because as anxiety sometimes as a lender, do you do dancing? Do you do sounds? Like, do you mimic everybody else? This guy is an original voice and he's killing it. And he does numbers disproportion where the way he explains and teaches things, the way he guides people through it, the way he videotapes and edits. I'm telling you, this guy is like the beast.
I got to check him out. I've never even heard of it. So this is good. I'm so glad I asked this question. Who is your avatar? Like who are you trying to attract when you build content?
Right now I'm trying to attract home buyers, middle-class home buyers. I'm looking for conventional FHA VA buyers. So I look at the middle class. Okay. And since I'm in California, I look at people who are looking to buy between $600,000-$700,000 and up. So what are their interests? What are they into? What emotions and feelings they go through? And I try to make my content to match that.
Has that evolved or is that where you always started?
That's where it's gone back to. Because, of course, when I was at U.S. Bank, we talked a lot about more jumbo stuff, more high balance stuff, as we are where we are now. So we can make our viewers diverse to different lenders that we can bring the client to. So we go with conventional FHA VA. Most of our business is still in California, leaking into Nevada and Arizona and Washington. But we find our clientele and we make the information to match our clientele. And that's our like I talk about people who have 401ks because I want buyers to have 401ks. If sub buyer has a 401k with $50,000 in it, that means they know how to save. They are responsible people. So we make videos on 401k, on IRAs, right? We make videos where we are assuming they know what the position they're in to buy. We avoid credit repair now. We used to talk about credit repair all the time, even though it helps us go viral. I just did a video recently regarding the B of A video. I did it more to give back to the community because a lot of people ask, but I stay away from all that because that's not the clientele that my referral partners want. And it's, you deal with a lot of people who are further away from buying. I want buyers now. So I don't talk about how to save money for a down payment. I don't talk about building your credit. I talk about assuming they're buying and what are they looking for? People who are buying, what are they looking for? They're looking to make their payment cheaper. They're looking to make the process better. I'm not trying to talk about saving money because that means I'm looking for a buyer generation Z or Y, X, Y, Z or double Omega or something, right? That's too far away.
So you said something because I actually saw your video on B of A. And so, you know, this is when we do this podcast, no telling, you know, when somebody's listening to it, but B of A just released a product that is a zero down product, but it actually gives you some equity kind of out the gates and pays off there's no closing cost. And it's it's like a dream product for a family that's looking for a home. And one of the biggest problems in the communities that we're serving today is, you know, when we talk about affordability, when rates have skyrocketed as a response to what's happening with inflation, that has not helped the consumer get into a home. It's actually impacted them. And when you look at what are called loan level adjusters on loans, if I'm trying to get a family into, let's just say a single mother into a manufactured home because that's what she can afford, the amount of points that she's going to pay on that are astronomical, and it makes it so unaffordable for them to do that. And so when you look at a product like this, it's like a godsend, but it's only in very specific markets. And I know all this because you taught me that in your messaging, right? And I was looking for, because I was waiting for, I thought that you were hating on it at first. I was like looking for the like, the hater to come out, but it was so mm-hmm. like, it was so educational. And I was like, this is actually a really cool product. Like, it's a dream product for anybody who's looking for affordable housing. Do you see that affordable housing right now is one of the biggest things impacting your clientele? Is that what's keeping people on the sideline, or what's impacted your customers right now?
Yes, 100%. So the reason why I made the video mm-hmm. is because I was giving back to the community. Who am I to hate on somebody that it might not benefit me and majority of my clients or viewers, but it's going to impact someone else. Mm-hmm. And I think through social media, you'll learn we are not in the other person's shoe. We might think it's a horrible product or a horrible idea, but it might benefit someone else. So who am I to shame it? I learned it recently. I don't shame being a renter anymore. I used to, not so, you know, because how dare you not own a home, but I'm not in their shoes. So my goal now is to, you know, treat everyone the same. So this product might benefit people. And that's why I don't hate on it. You know, some people, they do shame it. Well, you're the one looking for 100% financing and getting your closing costs covered, but you don't like the area. Who's the snob now? You know, like if you're not looking for it, then you have other options. But who am I to say that this product is bad when it could benefit that one person and it can change their life?
Amazing. Yeah, but you're exactly right. I mean, who are we? And maybe the reason that I had thought that to begin with was because I had seen on like when it first got launched, I was looking at the comments underneath of the, not yours, but the actual like product itself when it got launched or the article. There was so many people hating on it. There was so much negativity around it. So when I saw you post, I was just immediately in my mind went to, I wonder what he's going to say. But I was like, actually, everything he just said sounds amazing. You know, and the way that you positioned it, I legit wanted to copy it because I was like, this is like, I was inspired by it. And so I love what you're doing. I love how you serve the communities. And I love that you've been able to create a business and your journey is amazing. And, you know, I think for people that are out there that are suffering right now, you know, men is a testament to we are going to have our backs against a wall. And it's the decisions you make during this period that are going to bring you to the next level. And the decision that he made was he had to put his head down and focus and invest and continue to invest in marketing in order to get his business back. And through that was able to get his family back. And so, man, I am so proud to be associated with you through this podcast, and I really appreciate you. And I know this is just the beginning of a friendship and a relationship with you, man, because, man, I'm so happy to just go deep with you, and thank you for sharing such a personal story with me. I'm proud to see the business you've created, man, and I know you're going to continue to have the success. So thank you so much for being on a podcast today.
Oh, thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
Where do people find you, brother?
Go to Instagram or TikTok under What's a Mortgage.
What's a Mortgage. Don't forget about YouTube because, I mean, my man's everywhere. So, man, thank you so much. What'samortgage.com. Good luck with everything, brother, and I can't wait to continue to talk to you, man. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for checking out this podcast. If you liked what you heard, smash the 5 stars, drop a review, and please subscribe. We appreciate all the love and support you can give. Until next time, stay safe and stay healthy.